What's up, everyone? I am back from Vegas. If you didn't notice me on this stream, there was a few of us that made the trip out to Vegas. I was one of them. I was out there at the pool's pitch side celebrating and having fun and encouraging players to jump into the pool after the match. What an amazing weekend it was. Orange County, dominant victory in Vegas. I leave Vegas with $32 courtesy of Las Vegas Lights and $132 courtesy of Resort World Casino. Let's talk about all this. Let's have some fun. Welcome to the Podcast of Champions. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. Follow us on Twitter at @OCSC_SoccerCast or on Facebook at Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
How's it going, Orange County? Welcome to another episode of the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. I'm your host, Ray Samora, and I'm here to take you through this journey as we discuss all things Orange County Soccer Club. Helping me out for this episode, I've got one pal helping me out today, and that's the bearded one himself, Larry. Larry, I know you weren't in Vegas for the weekend, but I'm sure you got to watch the match on the stream.
I did.
Let me ask you this. Before we even get into the match, what were your thoughts on the support from Orange County fans?
I do not even want to spend any of the next 58 minutes talking about the match. Forget that. I don't want to talk about the upcoming match. I want to talk about seeing you, seeing Keith, seeing Matt Elder, seeing Blaine, seeing Melissa and Nigel. Could see you guys, could hear you guys, and literally within the first 3 minutes of the game, could hear you guys on the stream. And I was just thinking, man, I am so jealous that I am not there right now. And the funny thing about that is I hate Las Vegas. Las Vegas is not the place for me. I'm a bad gambler. I don't like to go out drinking and dancing until 3 o'clock in the morning. So, and I don't like pool parties. So Vegas is not the place for me, but it looked like you guys were having so much fun. And yeah, let's go ahead and talk about players diving in the pool. That was absolutely phenomenal. After Marcus scored his goal and he's running and he's going like this, that was all on the stream on TV. And I said to Carrie, I said, I bet you he's going to go jump in the pool right now. And he sure enough did. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about it. We do have to talk about the match. We have to
talk about the game. We can do that too.
I'm as excited as you are about all this. Let me ask you, how are you feeling after, longer weekend here? How was your weekend?
My weekend was great. I spent the entirety of it on a baseball diamond because, you know, that's what I do. I didn't get yelled at by any parents, fortunately, which is always nice. So I enjoy that. I got to watch some really, really horrible 10-year-old baseball on Saturday and some really exceptional 11-year-old baseball on Sunday. So speaking of baseball, while we're on the subject, just real quickly, hey, Artie, sell the team. Sell the team, okay? You're killing me.
Hey, if Artie listens to our show, I will take any message you want to share to him, because that's a voice.
That was going to be my random thought, but I started talking about baseball and it just came out. I can't hold back anymore, Ray. I just can't do it.
Random thoughts coming early in the episode here. So the trip out to Vegas, and Mother Nature tried its best to keep people from Orange County from making the trip out there. I believe producer Andy missed out by maybe a couple hours the closure of I-15 heading into Nevada because of some crazy weather, some flash floods on the I-15 that basically I believe closed the freeway for like 5 to 7 hours, roughly maybe around 5 or 6 o'clock. I know all of us had made it past that by then. But I did notice some of that crazy weather heading out there. So good try, Mother Nature. I'm sure the Vegas fans were trying to send that out our way, but it didn't work. We made it out there. And I will say this, the few Vegas fans that were at Cashman Field, you all were very, gracious. You guys were, totally like grateful that you talked to me, at least. I don't know about the other members of the fan base that travel, but I got to talk to a lot of the Vegas fans, and they're sort of in that boat. They know that their team sort of stinks right now. They're hoping the team survives, and they thanked us for coming out, even some of the workers. But let's talk about this. Let's talk about the match. Then we'll talk more about the fan support from Orange County out there and the players diving into the pools and all that fun stuff. A pretty dominating match from the obviously at this point, no one can dispute it. The hottest team in the USL Championship. If anyone thinks otherwise, I want to find out what they're eating, what they're drinking, what they're smoking that's causing that. Orange County looked like the better team. Obviously, going into the match on paper is the better team. And I know there were a lot of fans worried that this has the potential of a big trap game for Orange County. And props to the players, props to the coaching staff on being ready and just, hey, we know this team isn't doing that good. We're just going to come out, play our game the way we know we can, and we'll dominate. And that's what they did. Larry, what were you at all worried going into this match that, hey, this is a potential, like, overlooking the opponent loss?
I don't want to use the word worried because this team has been playing far, far too well. I will say that, you know, you always have to think about it in the back of your mind because there is always that possibility that, you know, Burnley is going to beat Manchester City. It's highly unlikely, but anything can happen on any given game day in any sport. And that's what this game here was. This game was the equivalent of a Manchester City versus a Burnley. Excuse me. At the end of the day, Orange County Soccer Club did exactly what they were supposed to do. They played the game like they played. They didn't fall into any kind of trap of playing Las Vegas's game. And frankly, I don't think our performance, anybody needs to be afraid of the performance. What I think everybody needs to be afraid of is not one, not two, not three, not four, five different players scored for this team on Saturday night. Assisted by not one, not two, not three, not four, but five different players assisted on goals. Now, granted, Langford assisted to Sparky. Sparky assisted to Langford. But still, five goals by five players, five assists by five players. That right there, of anything, that should be the thing that should terrify the entirety of the USL Championship right now, because that shows just exactly how good this team is, how much firepower there is coming from a lot of different spots right now. And some of these, I mean, this one right here that we're about to see, this cross from Owen into Marcus, just absolutely magnificent. And now he's going to come jogging over this way and he's going to start swimming. And we all knew where he was going. He went right to the pool and loved every second of it. So, the team looked great, and they did exactly what they were supposed to do.
I wish they would have not cut away right when he's about to jump in there, because it would have been a beautiful thing to be able to see, especially for those that weren't at the stadium. I know, the first couple of goals, the team stayed over to the corner, but when Marcus scored, and this is, I think, one of the things and one of the reasons why he quickly became such a fan favorite is – he is in tune with the fans. Like, you could tell, yeah, he knows, he wants to be part of the fans, you know, existence at the stadium. He wants to interact with them. He wants to be that person. We talked about it at the San Diego match, how on the goal scored, he ran right through his teammates and came to fist pump and celebrate with the supporters that traveled to San Diego. And in this instance, he scores and he right away. And I think all but maybe one or two of the fans realized what was happening there. I think a couple of them thought he was just coming to, you know, jump and celebrate with us. And then all of a sudden he just sort of pushes by a couple of the fans, jumps into the pool. We all go crazy and excited. It was pretty awesome there. I love that you pointed out five different scores, five different, you know, contributors to those goals in the assist column. And I think this is one thing that is going to really help this team even more is in the past, when you look, especially last season and early this season, you probably saw Milan Alowski taking shots that maybe it would have been better to lay it off to a teammate, or even maybe another teammate that was like pressing to get a shot on goal, where maybe there's a better opportunity to lay it off. And I think that had to maybe do a little bit with the trust in your teammates. And we weren't really scoring goals last year. Early this season, we were struggling to put the ball into the net. And I think you have sort of that lack of trust in your teammates. You're going to go try and press because you think you think you could score. Even though if your teammate might be in a better spot, you think you're the scorer, you could score, whatever. I think with this, you know, the spreading of the goals among teammates, the ball distribution there, it's going to build the teams, and they're going to have more confidence in their teammates. I apologize. I'm like looking back. I felt like I heard something falling behind me. So I'm just wanting to make sure nothing's going to fall on top of me. But I think this match, even though it was against a team you thought, okay, Orange County has to win this match. I mean, it's Las Vegas. This is as important of a result as any of the other results we've had so far this year, because now you're going to build that confidence that you have in your teammates, and you're going to be able to you're going to see players more willing to make that extra pass. That's going to lead to a better opportunity for their teammates, because now there's that trust that, hey, if I'm Sparky, I have an opportunity like we see, right? An opportunity where he probably could have headed it towards goal, but instead he heads it across goal and gets it to a teammate. You know, there's that. Oh, no, sorry. This was Kevin that did the head, right? But it's something where maybe earlier in the season, you see someone go for the head on goal, the shot on goal there, instead of making that extra little pass. But now there's this faith in your teammates, and you're going to see that more. It's awesome. I love it.
And that was great vision by Lanky. Seeing Mark coming through right there. And God, let's talk about that cross from Foxy off the left foot, just outside of the box. Him picking up Lankford down there and staying onside and dropping it right on top of his head. That is actually one of the prettiest goals we've scored all year, was the Fox to Lankford to McNulty. But you're right about Milan last year. Milan shot and shot and shot as well. He should have shot and shot and shot because he didn't have any help last year. This year, there is a lot of help on this team, and it's coming from a lot of different directions. Tomas Amon is a very dangerous player. He has shown that for multiple years in the USL Championship. And Milan he's Milan. He's a guy who, if he stays in the USL Championship, you know, although I don't think he's going to stay in the USL Championship too much longer. If he were, he could finish his career as one of the greatest goal scorers in the history of the USL Championship. And deservedly so. But yeah, there is so much more trust all the way across the board. These guys know each other and they feel each other and they know where each other is on the field. It's so much fun to watch. This is an exciting team right now. A very, very exciting team.
It's a very exciting team, a very confident team, really a very unselfish team, and a very, very, it's a team that sort of knows what this moment, what they're going through, what this run is like right now. You could see it in the players. You could see it when they acknowledge the fans, when they talk to each other, when they're congratulating each other. It's just a different atmosphere than what this team had last year, what they had earlier on in the season. And it's great to see, and it's fun. The other exciting factor of this match, right, is you're starting to see more fan support. Obviously, on a road match, it's more difficult, especially in the U.S. It's not like other countries where every away match is a train ride away, right? That's not what the U.S. is going to provide for soccer fans. So no. It's more difficult, especially at lower division soccer, to make those trips and do stuff like that. And we're seeing a little bit more of that, though. I was actually pleasantly surprised with the number of Orange County fans that I saw at the soccer stadium. I ran into a few of them. I'm going to apologize right now if any of those fans that I actually took the time to speak with and I asked you to provide me your name so I can maybe give you shots, you know, and call your name out on the show. I think I forgot at this point because I was having so much fun at the pools pitch side that I sort of lost my memory. But there
either
were
either that way or you just had a Freudian slip. You said something about giving them shots. Maybe you had shots and that's why you forgot.
That could very well be it. But I had opportunity to speak to multiple Orange County fans at the stadium as I'm walking around. And it's nice to see that. Obviously, you're going to get more of that when the team's winning than when they're struggling. But even the San Diego match, we saw a great turnout from the away fans. We've seen that in other matches in the past. Hopefully that'll continue. But props to all the fans that make the trip out there. From what I could tell, I haven't gone and watched the replay or the stream at all. But from everything I've heard is the Orange County fans were heard, were seen. Oh, yeah. I even heard comments of that. Basically, Orange County was, you know, took over the stadium. Now, I will say this. Props to the few Vegas fans that were nice and loud trying to battle the Orange County fans, especially County Line Coalition and the chants. There was a group of four young kids, probably age 10 or so, maybe to 12, that were chanting, you know, simple chants, let's go Lights or something like that. But they were loud. And I, you know, every time they would chant, I would give them a nice little, you know, I was watching the match, but I would do a nice little applause over my head because they were being nice and loud. And actually Blaine from County Line Coalition, because him and I both did that money giveaway that Las Vegas did. And they gave away some cash. They gave away some gift certificates for the stadium. And we, you know, Blaine's all give, go give those kids that are chanting loud, go give them my tickets. And I, so I got them, went and handed them off, and the kids were appreciative of that. So Blaine, just to let you know, the kids, each kid said, thank you. And they were very pleasantly surprised that we were willing to give them those tickets. So, or those $5 gift certificates to go buy something. So that was awesome.
Nice.
The player interactions with the fans after the match, there was about four or five players that, you know, we were trying to get all the players to jump in the pool. And there was about four or five of them that participated in it. You know, Colin Shuttler did, Brent Richards did, Marcus did, obviously, during the match. And I think he also did it after the match, if I can remember.
He did.
The youngster.
Ben Norris.
He was the first one. I think he was sort of forced into it as the sort of youngster. The older players were telling me he had to go do it. Amazing. It was fun. It was a great road trip. I know the Orange County fans had a blast.
Yeah. I will say this, Ray, in seeing a couple different people posted up videos of the players jumping in, and the way Brent went in, he almost did like a WWE kind of just the way he dropped in, kind of like half on his back, bump, that's the word, the bump that he took, you know, is like, oh man, don't hurt yourself, Brent. And then Colin did the exact same thing, but then I thought, oh, Colin's fine, he's a goalie, he's used to jumping and landing in funny positions and not hurting himself. But yeah, that was those videos. I think it was Melissa and Nigel Sprang whose videos I saw posted up. Those were so cool and so much fun to watch. And again, so jealous that I wasn't there to be a part of that, because I would have been sitting in the pool. Of course, you know, I'm a big dude. I would have, you know, cannonballed all of the water out of there and then hurt my hip. So.
Oh, yeah. You could ask some of the fellow travelers out there. I was jumping into all the pools and splashing around. I was the biggest kid out there, acting a fool, but I think we were all just having fun. It was great. But again, thank you, Vegas, for being, you know, great hosts. I mean, none of the fans were causing trouble. We all went to a local bar before the match, and the bartender said, hey, if you all come back after the match, we'll, you know, I'll get you all a round of shots. And so we all went back. The bar is Kickers. It's, you know, it's within walking distance of the stadium, but I think with the area, we decided we would just drive from there to the stadium as a group and stuff like that. But a nice little place. So if anyone's making the trip out there in the future, go head over there and hang out. They were willing to let us be noisy in there. We were doing some chants in there. We got some pictures in there. So give them some love. That's one of the few things I can remember that I said, hey, I will talk about y'all on the show. Yeah. Thank you to all the traveling fans that made it out there. And obviously the ones that couldn't make it, you know, way to support your team, you know, from afar and watch the match and tweet about it and enjoy it. I'm just hoping this run doesn't end. Again, great showing from Orange County, a match that on paper they had to win, a match that in the minds of some was a little scary because who knows, will they overlook this match, you know, and focus more on an upcoming match? You never know, or just think, hey, we're better than this team, so let's not even worry about it. We're going to beat them. They didn't come in with that mentality. I love it. Great job from Orange County.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more on there. And there's something that that should probably be brought up right now in the table. We are 5 points off of SAC. We are 3 points off of San Antonio, and we have a game in hand on both of those teams. Additionally, we are only three or five points off of Pittsburgh. This team right now is not a team that should just be thinking about, hey, let's be happy and get the number three seed. This is a team that could very, very possibly, very probably, God, I hope so, could not only jump up all the way to the number one seed in the Western Conference, but the number one overall seed. Other teams are collapsing right now. San Antonio, win, draw, loss. Sacramento, draw, win, loss, win. Pittsburgh isn't all that much better on the other side up on top of the table. Tampa is the only team that really is on form, kind of like we are. But even they're not as on form as we are. This is a team right now with the way they are built and the way they are playing. Don't be at all surprised if we have not one home playoff game, but multiple home playoff games. And, you know, how great would it be to, you know, host a Western Conference final? And I'm wearing my Western Conference champion shirt from 2021. How great would it be if we could host that again? It would be incredible for the community. It would be incredible for the team. You know, there's still question marks about our stadium. Let's host another Western Conference final, maybe a USL championship game, and, you know, make that stadium truly into our own.
So really quick, when I'm looking at the standings, so the one thing we got to look at is San Diego does have a match in hand on us. So they sort of are in control of that fate when it comes to our record versus theirs. But again, San Diego maybe at this point is, you know, playing on fumes because it's already been announced that that team is, you know, bye-bye after this season. So it's either going to be the players are focused and want to do good and go out with a bang, or the players are like, well, you know, this is the end, really. Next year, what am I going to do? And they're already thinking about what their next steps are going to be. So that's the shaky ground on that.
I am more inclined to think that this, that San Diego Loyal is going to be, they have nothing to lose, and everything to gain, and going 125% balls to the wall, leave it all on the pitch every single weekend between now and the playoffs. San Diego scares me more than San Antonio or Sacramento.
Well, let me talk about San Diego though. San Diego, when you look at the four top teams in the West, they probably have the most difficult of the schedules. Not looking at schedule. Well, they have Louisville coming up, and they also have Charleston coming up, and then they also have Monterey Bay in their sights, which they're going to be battling for a final playoff spot, which will be tough. I know when you look at Orange County and San Antonio, there's a tough battle there because they have two matches against each other. So that right there, that's where Orange County is in control of their fate with those two teams, right? Orange County goes in and does their job. They leapfrog San Antonio, and now they're at least in second, unless San Diego goes on a great run. Sacramento
Have two games against Las Vegas.
Yes. But they also have two tough Eastern Conference teams and a Monterey Bay team that's going to be fighting for position, which will be tough. And they also have El Paso, who's battling for position, I believe. So that'll be tough. And they have Oakland. So it's a tough schedule for them. Yes. Sacramento, I think, has the easier path right now heading into the final matches of the season. And they also have those 5 points on Orange County. So that's going to be a difficult ask to catch up to Sacramento. It'd be awesome if it happens, but Sacramento has teams like, they do have El Paso. They have New Mexico. So they're not an easy, but they do have some easy matches against Lights, RGV. And I'd put Miami as an easy matchup as well, probably. So going to be difficult for maybe to get to the number one in the West spot, but you can easily get number two with the way things are going. Let's just do a quick jump into the standings for our predictions, because we did have this last match. I don't know if everyone got their predictions in, but I don't know if I wonder if there was anyone that did a 5-1 prediction for this. If they did, great job on that. I don't think I got my predictions in, even though I think I said Orange County would win. So that's my bad, because I would have more points because of that. But if you look at the numbers, a lot of you picked Milan Olasky as the first goal scorer, so you were pretty correct on that. A lot of you picked Orange County to win, so good job on that. You got points from it. All in all, probably a good result for most people in this competition. Didn't really help separate much. Again, I don't have the total number, so I don't know if anyone picked the correct score or not. But if you did, again, props to you. Brad's saying no in the chats. He can listen to us. He just can't join us on the show. So thanks for though helping us out on that, Brad.
Miss you, Brad.
We do miss you, Brad. And by the way, it was nice to see you in person, Brad, by the way. The next match, if Orange County keeps the run, and we'll go into this so that way we can talk about this, that way we can not try and have to rush into it or rush our guest off to talk about it. We'll do a brief discussion because I don't think either of us know much or are going to be super knowledgeable about our upcoming opponent, which is El Paso Locomotive on this coming Saturday.
Haven't won a game since like June 15th or some ridiculous amount of time. They are about as out of form as could possibly be. But again, that puts you in a situation where anything can happen on any given game day. No, El Paso has not played well over the last 2.5 months, whereas we have been nearly unbeatable over the last 2 months. I think I looked back their last 10, no wins, 2 ties and 8 losses, something like that. It's not pretty. And they started the season off really, really strong. But it's been just all downhill from there. And, it's been a tough go for them. Don't really know a ton about the team. I wish we could have had their guy, on the show tonight to, you know, talk with, about them a bit more. But again, it's possibly a trap game where, you know, we get a little hiccup, things don't go our way, and we end up dropping points on points that we should take. But since my prediction is going to be 2-0 El Paso, and we know what happens when I predict a 2-0 loss for Orange County Soccer Club, I feel pretty confident about this coming Saturday's game.
Yeah, I can't remember. I felt like they were like pretty high up on the table at one point early in the season. When we were at the bottom of the table, they were up towards the top, and then it's almost like the team switched and we started winning, they started losing, and now they're towards the bottom of the table, although they are still in the playoff hunt. So that's where you look at a team like Las Vegas, they're pretty much out of it. They know they're out of it. There's really nothing to play for at this point. It's like just pride at that point for Vegas. For a team like El Paso, they're playing for one of the final 2 spots in the West, if you look at the standings, right? So if we look at the Western Conference standings, you have Colorado Springs sitting at 36 points. You have El Paso at 35 points, Monterey Bay at 34, New Mexico at 33, and RGV at 32. So those are the 5 teams that are fighting pretty much for the 2 final spots in the Western Conference. So all those teams are probably going to be playing, you know, if they want that opportunity to play a few more games this season, and maybe, who knows, make a surprise run through the playoffs, they are going to need to get some points in these final, you know, whatever, 7 or so matches for each of these teams. So that's the one scary point when you look at an El Paso. And we know based on how they did early in the season that they do have some quality on that team. Cause there's regardless of it, if you're off to a great start and a month or two into the season, you're towards the top of the table, there has to be a reason behind it. So that's the one scary thing. I don't look at it as much of as a trap game as it's just going to be an El Paso team that's coming in with really a winner die type mentality. At this point, you need to win matches. Sort of where Orange County was a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, we got to the point where we had to win matches if we wanted to, you know, salvage the season. That's where El Paso is right now. Just who knows if they can actually do it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. But given that Orange County Soccer Club has given up 1 goal dating back to, I don't know how many games now, 5, 6 games, something like that. I don't think El Paso is going to get back on track against us, against OC. It's too unlikely. And again, you know, based upon what we just did to Las Vegas and the firepower coming from so many different spots. Let's see, El Paso, draw, loss, win, loss. Yeah, that's about as out of form as you can get. Complete 180 from where OC is sitting right now. So trap game, maybe, possibly. Don't think so. Not going to worry about it. Just going to go out and have a good time and celebrate and get some good video of the CLC to post up on Instagram.
Yeah. And you went through their form. There was that one win that stuck out there. That was against Hartford. which is basically Vegas of the Eastern Conference. And the Eastern Conference is the Leastern Conference. So do with that thought process as you will with your mind there.
Yeah.
Again, it's if the players come into it the way they've been playing, then it should work. They should be able to get a victory and hopefully keep the run going and get to 9 wins in a row, which would be damn amazing for this team, for not just Orange County, but for any team in any league to get 9 wins in a row. That's a difficult task to ask of your players. And one of those players that's been a big part of that run is Mr. Dylan Powers. We do have Dylan Powers that's joining us on the show tonight to talk about this. Dylan, first and foremost, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on tonight, guys. Looking forward to chatting.
We're excited to have you on. We're looking forward to this as well. This team is on an amazing run of form. You can just see the confidence in all of you out on the pitch. We can see the camaraderie being built as the season goes through, the confidence, the selflessness. You guys are willing now to work as a team and do what you have to do together, which may not have been the case last season and early this season, where you're maybe pressing for stuff more. How has that been? How's that been feeling as a team, as a member of this team that's been here for the championship, that was here for, you know, this part of the season last year, here this year? What have you seen differently from, you know, last season to this season, and even from early this season to now?
Well, it's felt great. It's been honestly one of the most enjoyable periods in my entire career. And that's, you know, it's a testament to the type of characters that we have in the locker room. And even at the start of the season, when we were struggling for results, this group has had something special. Like, there's been a real camaraderie within the group. And I think we've really stuck together, battled through some hard periods. And now we've kind of come out of that on the other side of it. And it's just felt like we're in such great rhythm. And that feeling, showing up to work every day to work with these guys, has been fantastic. And I think I'm starting to feel more and more like, you know, the product on the field is just getting stronger and stronger. And there's a real willingness for everyone to want to compete for each other and fight for each other. And it's been a real pleasure to be a part of.
The team's now on 8 wins in a row, going for 9 this coming weekend. Wins, not just, you know, results, wins, 3 points. Have you ever had a run like this in your professional career where a team is like this sort of dominant and this much confidence, where you just keep winning and winning and winning and winning and potentially get to 9 this weekend?
I don't think I've ever had 8 wins in a row. Like you said, I think I've been on long unbeaten streaks, but it's different, you know, when you're tying games, because every single win is hard fought. Every single win is a huge 3 points. So it's, when you can string together that many in a row, it's really something special. So we're trying to continue that momentum as much as possible, because it feels great.
Hey Dylan, not only should it feel great, but it looks great on the pitch. It's absolutely fantastic to watch. I have a very, very important question for you. Notre Dame, great school, great football program. Being a Notre Dame alumni, do you hold the USC Trojans? I don't like to use the word hate, but do you hold the USC Trojans in, let's say, great disdain?
Yeah, I'm not going to use the word hate either, but I think disdain might be fair.
Okay, excellent. I knew we could be good friends. I'm a UCLA guy. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So
we're good friends then.
One thing that a lot of us noticed coming into this season, Dylan, you look absolutely phenomenal. You look like you are in the same shape that you were in 10 years ago to 11 years ago when you won Rookie of the Year in MLS. What was your off-season program like? What did you do to get yourself into this shape for this season? Because, you know, let's be honest. Granted, I'm 20 years older than you, but 32 is not a kid for a professional athlete. So what did you do this off-season?
Well, I think it helped to have an off-season where I was in one place. You know, the last you know, several years. It's been, you know, half season here, half season there. And so just coming back last summer and having, you know, being able to finish out the season and then being around Orange County for the off season was really nice to have that stability. And I would say, like, other than the normal kind of cardio work that we're kind of provided, like, I actually did a lot of hiking and trail running in like the Crystal Cove State Park. And if I had a differentiator, I think that would be it. I worked out a lot with a friend and former player, Steven Lenhart, who some may know, and he was taking me up on these trail runs, and we would really kind of go through a lot of the psychological stuff as well as, you know, work through a lot of the physical pain of trail running. So it was a really special offseason in that regard, that and I'm thankful to have him as like kind of a training partner and kind of a little bit of a guide for me this offseason.
Let me ask you, Dylan, because you're one of those players that has a link and a tie to the championship season with Orange County, which was an amazing run and an amazing season. We've looked at it. We've sort of talked about it on the show. There's so many similarities from that season to this season, including a poor start, a coaching change, a nice run as you hit the final stretch of the season, and then obviously making through the playoffs. What is it about like that run and that season in 2021 and this season that it's all just seems to be working at this point? Like how would you compare the two seasons? Do you agree that they're very similar? Do you see similarities? Do you see differences? What do you see with that?
There are some eerie similarities, that's for sure. And I think the one really strong similarity, at least from like a feeling sense, is like, I remember from that season, we got to a point where we were stepping out on the field and you just felt like we were going to win. And we felt like, I didn't know where it was going to come from necessarily, but it felt like we were going to be really strong defensively and we were going to get our goal. And I would say there's a lot of similarities there, but even more so this time around, it feels like there's a more of an understanding of why that might be happening. Like, I feel like there's a really solid identity and a really solid, you know, everyone seems to know their roles really well. And that's made it so that when we go out on the field, it's just about executing, you know, and so that's maybe the only addition I would say, but it's, there's a very similar feeling.
Speaking of roles, Dylan, you're not a center back. However, you have been put into that role. I'm curious as to, did it come about just simply because of need, with the injury to Foxy, and you moving back into that slot there on the left-hand side? Had you played much center back previously? Because you've been about as good as any team could ask for from a center back this season. But I know it's not your natural position. So how did that come about?
Yeah, when Morton took over, there was a few injuries. I think Foxy was out, and maybe Marcus too at one point. There was a little concussion fever going around. But he asked me to step in, and I was a little bit, you know, I hadn't really had much experience there. I'd finished a game or two there in an emergency job, but I was a bit fearful of the position, to be honest, just because
doesn't show.
Yeah. Well, it's tricky, you know, when it's different than being in the midfield when, you know, you're not the last line of defense and you can, you know, be maybe a bit more aggressive. And even though things are consequential, they're not the last line consequential. And so it was really a matter of trying to get up to speed really quickly. And I'm really thankful to have great center back partners in Foxy and Marcus they've really kind of been my mentors a little bit. And I've been willing to ask questions and learn from watching them, but also they've both been great in terms of just like, you know, giving me feedback and constantly like making sure I'm doing the job. And so it's gotten to the point now where in the last, I don't know, few months where it's starting to feel more like second nature. And that's when it's gotten fun where I can try to add a little bit to the position. And there's a lot of benefits. Like, I think it suits a lot of parts of my game that has made it fun. Like, you spend a lot of time on the ball, you get to, you know, absorb pressure, break pressure with passes. There's a little bit of aggression involved. So it's been a fun transition. And I'm thankful that I've had the teammates and the coaching staff to kind of back me to do that.
So Tillon, we have a question actually from someone listening live on YouTube, and that's Gabriel. He asked, what changes have you seen from Orange County defensively since last season?
Well, I think, you know, if I'm speaking more so for this last, like, you know, this run we've been on in this period where we've kind of solidified, I think the biggest difference would be just a very clear and simple expectation and where we need to be, when we need to be. You know, we don't change what we do much. We have a couple adjustments, but we drill it over and over every week. And it's a combination of, okay, I know where I need to be. And now I'm really feeling a sense that there's an accountability level, personal accountability level coming into this team where, you know, you see guys tracking back. There's an expectation that, you know, when the ball gets cut back across the six, you need to be here. I need to be here. And no one wants to let the team down. No one wants to let each other down. So I think that's starting to feel really, really solid. And that's maybe one of the differences I've felt.
Let's look back a couple matches ago, Sacramento. In Sacramento, when the lineup comes out, fans are like shocked. Where's Colin Shuttler? We see the name Juan Santana in there. Obviously a youngster with little experience at that level. You're one of the veterans on the team. This is sort of a two-part question. How did you sort of help him out? What did you maybe say to him, or how did you help him prepare as one of the veteran leaders of the team for that match? And then obviously there were some tactical differences because you use Colin a lot. In that build-up play, you back and forth with him. And obviously, if you watch that match, you guys didn't do that much. Was that part of the game plan of trying to help ease him into that role?
Yeah, I think you know, it's his first game, 20,000 people there. Like, you don't want to put anyone in a position to fail. And I think we wanted to give Juan every chance to succeed. And we did trust him, of course, and he made some big saves and big moments. And but we also didn't want to put too much pressure on him. And I think we were able to execute that well, and for him to shine in the moments that he needed to be there. So definitely something to build on for him. And what I told him before the game was, like, you know, if I could give advice to my debut self, it would be, don't focus on the outcome. Just focus on the feeling of the performance. Focus on what you can control and really just try to stay on really that feeling of, you know, it's hard to explain, but like getting your confidence out of just like being present and letting go of whatever might come. There's going to be mistakes, or there might be a goal scored on you, but like kind of really bring it back to what you can control. And, you know, I don't know if you took that in or not, but I figured I'd drop that for him.
Whatever you said, it seemed to work, because, man, that dude had a great performance, and what a debut for a youngster between the sticks.
Yeah, it was great to see.
We all really enjoyed that. It was fun to watch. Dillon, a couple of months ago, we had Seth on the show, and we were talking about passing lanes and just knowing where the ball was going. And he mentioned something about you using a term, passing empathy. Can you maybe tell us a little bit more about passing empathy? What exactly does that mean when you're using that term?
Well, I think the term is actually correctly called tactical empathy. And
okay.
Which it's the same thing really, but I picked it up out of, I think, Arsene Wenger's book. I think he was explaining that. Maybe he taught that to his players, or one of the players in particular, but it's basically the concept of, you know, not stitching your teammate up. Like when you pass him the ball, do it in a way that's going to lead to success for him. And I think that's, you know, something that I hope people can pick out of my game. That's something I always try to take care in, you know, which foot am I passing to? What's the weight of my pass? You know, am I passing to, you know, where's the pressure coming from? You know, and I using my voice to also dictate that. And honestly, that's one of the biggest joys of my game is the passing. And if I can, you know, help my teammate out as much as possible, it's really, I get a lot of pleasure out of that.
I have one more for you tonight, Dylan. I would like you to rank these 1, 2, and 3.
All right.
Gatorade Player of the Year, MLS Rookie of the Year, USL Champion.
That's tough, man. That's tough.
We are going to throw a couple softballs at you, but not yet.
I think that, man, it's tough. I think I have to throw the championship at number one just because it's a championship, and it's like, you can get a lot of individual accolades throughout your career, but like winning a championship's like a pretty special thing. I'd put the Gatorade Player of the Year at number two, just because like that was a really cool award and just whole experience. You know, I'm sitting there at 18 and just getting to be like, I like beat out every college or high school player in the country for this. And that was
everybody.
that was really cool. And I got to go to the ESPYs and like have lunch with Landon Donovan and meet a bunch of pro athletes. So that was a really cool experience. And then Rookie of the Year was a kind of a surreal thing too. Just my first professional year and just, you know, coming in so strong, and it just felt like a dream. So really all special memories for me. And but yeah, I'd have to throw, winning a championship was fun, and I hope I can add another one to the list this year.
That would be awesome if you can help add that extra.
We would not be mad at you for that.
We will not be. We got a couple of fun ones, and these next questions are ones we just asked so that the fans can get to know the players a little better. We pretty much ask every guest from the team on here these questions. The first one we want to ask: music in the locker room. Who has the best music taste? Who has the worst music taste?
Well, if you would have asked me last year, I would have said worst would be Nico. I would say Seth. I would say Seth and Kyle and Ashish are pretty much the rotating DJs, I would say. And they all have pretty bad taste for the most part. Seth probably aligns with me more than any of them. So I'll give him the credit. And I know probably Kyle will not be happy with me, but yeah, it is what it is.
So I have to ask this, like, how is it determined who gets to control the music? Because you got like a rookie controlling the music in the locker room, and then also Seth, who's been there forever. How does this get chosen, or is it whoever makes it in the locker room first gets it?
Honestly, it's a bit of a confidence thing. Like, it is a little bit of vulnerable to play your tune. You know, people judge you based on what you play, and I think Ashish isn't shy of confidence. So I think maybe that's how he's kind of worked his way in. And you know, sometimes it's just like Seth's always like providing service to the team. So I think that's kind of natural for him. He's always kind of, you know, doing some selfless things. So, yeah.
So you said those players all have horrible taste in music. What's your style of music? Like, if you opened up your Spotify right now and just what song is on the screen, what would it be?
Oh man. I'm obsessed with the new Hozier album, if you're familiar with him. It's like, it came out recently, and I like, that's literally all I'm listening to. And I'm just, it's one of the best albums I've ever heard. But we do have a team playlist that's, we've kind of kept the same basically since we've been winning. And my song on there is Higher Love by Kygo, which is like, you know, Whitney Houston remix. And I credit, that's when we play like before we go out for the game. And I kind of credit that for a lot of our success. So.
All right. Another softball for you. I volunteered to ask this because I hate this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What is your favorite vegetable and how do you prepare it?
I would say that's tough. Really tough. My favorite veggie would probably be the carrot, and I don't prepare it. I just like to buy the loose carrots and eat them raw. So that's, I know it's a kind of a lame answer, but I always Yeah, that's what I'm eating most of the time. I get a lot of crap because like I often bring raw veggies like on the road or like, and I'll eat like one weird tick I have is like I eat like a, not a tick, but like I eat a bell pepper, like kind of just like an apple, and people find that really strange. So I get a lot of abuse.
I'll let you know,
I actually get that.
The carrot thing, I mean, that's straight out of the playbook of former coach Richard Chaplow. I think that was his answer the first time we had on the show. We asked him. I think that's what he said was just raw carrots is his thing. So it's not a weird thing. It's not the most popular answer, but definitely not weird. What's a local business that you would love to shout out or give a shout out to, you know, that you love to go to, whether it's a coffee shop, restaurant, little boutique store or something you like to go visit and you want to just give them some word of mouth?
Well, there's maybe a few.
You can do a couple name drops. We don't care.
Yeah, my wife and I go to a lot of the coffee shops. We go to Milligram a lot in Newport, and what's the other one? Daydream. We like those two. And I just recently went to this like meditation and breathwork place called Behind the Lids in Costa Mesa. And that place is offering a lot of like cool, like mindfulness and meditation stuff. So I'm plugging that.
Hey, by all means, take that opportunity to share what you love locally. Cause we like to do that as well. Yeah. Larry has one last comment and then we'll let you head out.
One last comment before we let you go. You're off to a great start here, Dylan. Okay. With the beard. I just want to say, just don't do anything for 6 months. 6 months. That's it. Just let it go. See what happens. You know, see what the wife says. And if you need some tips on beard oil, holler to me on the sideline. You know, I'm there every week.
You sure that's all it's going to take? You got a lot of length there.
This is short right now.
Okay. So 6 months, huh?
Yeah. 6 months. That's
you might have to talk to my wife.
I was going to say, you got to get permission from the wife before you tell him to do that, Larry.
Yeah,
I'll find her at the stadium. I'll have a conversation.
All right, cool.
All right, well, Orange County Soccer Club fans, defender for your Orange County Soccer Club, Dylan Powers. Dylan, thank you for taking some time to speak with us. Best of luck to you and all the players and coaching staff this weekend against El Paso Locomotive, and keep that run going. Keep it going till the end.
That's our plan. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dylan. Great having you here.
Thank you so much. Oh, man. Great representative of the team. Great leader to have on this roster. And again, one of those few ties to the championship year. So that experience that he'll be able to provide to this team when we get into that run into the playoffs will be, you know, invaluable when it comes to the run that this team can make.
I was thinking about it earlier today. What do we have left? We've got Dylan, Seth, Brent, Brian. Is that it? Just the four?
Maybe. I'd have to go look at the roster to know. Someone else let me know. I mean, what else do we have? I think it's very limited. Even when you look into, you know, the head coach is different. Yeah. We didn't have Morton then. I mean, obviously the ownership in the front office is this pretty much the same. But yeah, out of the players,
they don't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, it's interesting. So those few players that know how to make that run and know – you know, they'll be able to share what it's like to actually stand on the stage with confetti flying down, lifting a trophy, and you are the champions. And the cool thing with soccer, and it's a very unique thing to soccer for the most part, at least in America, is the addition of a star on the crest, right? And anytime a club can add a star to their crest, the players that are part of that star can go through the rest of their life and point at that star and say, I was part of that. That right there, that star, that second star that's on top of OC's crest, I helped make that happen when I was a player, which is a really neat thing that there's this sort of permanent representation on the crest of what you helped achieve, which is pretty awesome. One thing I was going to ask him, but I didn't want to, you know, take up too much more time. I just wanted to figure out, he was one of the few players we could not entice to jump into the pool after the match. I wanted to find out if there's anything we could have done that would have given him that.
Maybe that he courage. Can't swim.
Maybe. Marcus needs to teach him how to swim through the air like that. Let's get into our random thoughts so we can wrap this all up. I'll let you go first, Larry. Do you have a random thought for us?
My random thought, I put it over in the, I made mention of it over in the comments. Tonight I am drinking a Eagle Rare 10-year-old bourbon. Let me tell you something. If y'all can get your hands on a bottle of this and you are a whiskey drinker, do yourself a favor. This is the most fantastic. This actually blows away my old favorite of the Redbreast 12-year-old Irish. It's a phenomenal pour. I could become an alcoholic drinking this stuff because it's just that good, but I keep myself to one a night so that I do not, in fact, do that. Outside of that, let's go back to Artie, sell the team. James Keston, geez, really, Larry? Do not sell the team, but if Orange County Soccer Club wins a second star, you are getting a tattoo. I'm going to talk you into it. I'm going to talk your wife into it. We are all getting tattoos with two stars on top of the crest. That's all I got for tonight.
When you say we all are, that's you and him.
Well, you know, anybody else who wants to join, I got a great tattoo guy.
He has a great tattoo guy. Here we go. Before I give my random thought, just a reminder, Orange County, 7 matches left in the regular season. These are the 7 most important matches we're going to see because this will determine, are they a 1-2 seed or are they a 5-6 seed? Hopefully they keep the run going in there, that like 1-2 seed, but it's this weekend against El Paso. Then followed by Colorado Springs. Those are both at home. A road trip to San Antonio, a road trip to Phoenix, home against Oakland, home against San Antonio, road against Monterey Bay. The difficult part for Orange County is all of those teams are either, you know, in the playoffs sort of comfortably or in a fight to get a position in the playoffs. So, again, we were looking at the stats earlier. Orange County's got a tough road ahead of them. They also are the hottest team right now, and they're probably the most confident team. So is the confidence going to keep up, and are they going to be able to continue it against a tough schedule, or are they going to maybe falter a little bit? I'm leaning towards the confidence is strong enough. The team's playing really great right now. I feel like, and I'm going to call it out right here, I feel like we can get at least, I got to do the math now, right? At least 18 points out of these final 7 matches. At least.
You are predicting 18 out of 21 to finish the season?
I am. I'm predicting that right now.
Where are we dropping 3?
I don't know. Maybe against Monterey Bay because our position is already sort of set and we don't want to risk injuring someone. That could be where.
Nope, that's not going to happen because I will be at the Monterey game, sitting on the field, pretty much right.
So you're going to demand. You're going to demand the top line
3 points, and if we aren't getting 3 points, then I'm going to slide tackle Marcus when he comes over towards the sidelines.
Really quick, we have to do this. I forgot. We need to do our predictions for the El Paso match. We didn't give a score prediction. Larry, your prediction?
All right, 2-0 El Paso.
My prediction is going to be 3-0 Orange County. First goal score from, I have to go with Milan at this point. It's Milan. My random thought, again, I said it earlier, but just thank you, Vegas, for being great host. The staff at the stadium were all nice, even though we were wearing Orange County gear. Although I have a quick sort of thought, or just sort of I'm trying to help you out, is when Orange County or a team like Orange County that wears orange and black is coming to play you in your stadium, don't have your giveaways, even if it's not your giveaways, it's like your sponsor's giveaways, be like orange or black bags and an orange towel that can be waved around. That just sort of doesn't really work. You shouldn't do that if a team's coming that wears orange and black. For Larry and our producer, Andy, plus anyone else that helps take part of this podcast or helps write stuff, the hosts that aren't here tonight, plus all the people that listen live, listen to the recording, thank you so much. Also to our guests tonight, Dylan Powers from Orange County Soccer Club. Thank you for taking time to speak with us. As always, this is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. We are out.